Okay, we are part of this reading today. So I'm going to ask Candy to start, please.
After his arrest and unjust trial before the Jewish religious leaders, Jesus is taken before the Roman governor Pilate in his judgment hall. Pilate addressed the Jewish leaders.
What charges are you bringing against this man?
If he were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you.
The Jewish leaders responded. Pilate ordered Jesus to be taken into his palace so he could question him privately. He asked Jesus,
Are you the king of the Jews?
Jesus replied,
Is that your own idea, or did others talk to you about me?
Am I a Jew? Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?
My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now, my kingdom is from another place.
Pilate asked,
So you are a king then?
Jesus responded,
You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me.
What is truth?
Exasperated, puzzled, and frustrated, Pilate returned to the judgment hall where the Jewish leaders and crowds were waiting. He addressed the crowd.
I find no basis for a charge against him, but it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of Passover. Shall I release Jesus to you?
No, not him. Give us Barabbas.
Barabbas was a murderer and a rabble-rouser responsible for an uprising. Pilate was surprised and disappointed by their decision to free him, rather than the innocent Jesus. But wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate handed Jesus over to be flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on Jesus' head. They clothed him in a purple robe, slapped him, and mocked him again and again, saying,
Hail the King of the Jews!
Jesus was again brought before the crowd, who responded angrily, shouting,
Crucify him!
You take him and crucify him. I find no basis for a charge against him.
The Jewish leaders responded,
We have a law, and according to that law, he must die, because he has claimed to be the Son of God.
Pilate was afraid of the angry crowd, and so he went to speak privately again to Jesus.
Where do you come from? Do you refuse to speak to me? Don't you realize that I have power either to free you or to crucify you?
Jesus answered,
You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin.
From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jewish leaders kept shouting,
If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar.
When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement. It was about noon.
Here is your king.
Take him away. Crucify him.
Shall I crucify your king?
The Jewish leaders responded,
We have no king but Caesar.
Finally, Pilate handed Jesus over to them.
To our readers, thank you everyone for taking a part in that. What events to take place. This contrast of the cheers and the welcome for Jesus that Palm Sunday to the cries of crucify him, take him away. In the middle of it all, in this scene, we have Pilate, a bit bemused, a bit confused. He's not a Jew. He doesn't really understand what the issues are here, and he's trying to get to the bottom of it. So he interrogates, questions Jesus. Jesus doesn't really make it easy for him in giving him clear answers. It's clear when Pilate says, What is truth? It's almost a plea of, I don't really know what's going on here. I can't see that legally you're guilty of anything. Jesus, like a lamb before his shearers is silent, says really very little to defend himself. So Pilate, it seems, is left with little wriggle room. He's worried about a crowd that might cause uproar if he doesn't do what they want. He's worried about his job as the Roman policeman in that area, that he might lose his job if there's rebellion or trouble. Also, he recognizes that Jesus isn't guilty of anything as far as he can see. Jesus submits, knowing what is about to happen. He serves God, you and I. He is prepared to take onto himself the unjust punishments and the suffering that is lavished out upon him. Barabbas was a guilty man. What do you think he felt that moment? The crowd said, "Release Barabbas," a man who knew he was guilty of breaking the law. Set free. This man, Jesus, who's innocent, being punished. You and I are like Barabbas. We are guilty. Jesus died to take the punishment for us so that we can go free. From Pilate's judgment hall, Jesus is led through the streets of Jerusalem, through jeering, heckling, wailing crowds, carrying on his shoulder the wooden cross on which he will soon be crucified. So heavy is the cross that the weakened, pained, and disfigured form of Jesus cannot carry it. So a man from the crowd, Simon of Cyrene, is seized by soldiers and forced to carry the cross behind Jesus, to carry Jesus' burden on himself. On reaching the place of crucifixion, outside the walls of the city, Jesus is crucified. Nails hammered through hands and feet, and then he is suspended from those wounds on the cross. A criminal's death, a shameful death, an undeserved death, an agonizing death. We now pick up our account from Luke 23, verse 32 to 49. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on the left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine, vinegar, and said, "If you're the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said, "since you're under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 PM, for the sun had stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. This is the word of the Lord. We can't really comprehend what Jesus went through on the cross. As humans who've experienced pain, we can perhaps begin to imagine the physical suffering. To some extent, Jesus willingly submits. We certainly can't get our heads around the spiritual anguish of being separated from his Father in heaven. In another gospel, he says these words. They're recorded for us. "Father, why have you forsaken me?" Just a few hours earlier in the Garden of Gethsemane, a couple of days earlier, he has sought out the Lord in his moment of grief and suffering and anguish. Even the disciples abandoned him. And now on the cross, with the pain and suffering at its peak, it feels like God has abandoned him as well. We can't really comprehend what it must have been like. Jesus is God. And yet, he's separated from his Father. "Why have you left me? Why have you forsaken me?" Jesus willingly submits. Why? For you and for me. Just as Simon of Cyrene is taking the burden of the cross onto himself, instead of Jesus bearing that burden, so Jesus bears the burden of our sin. The tool of our punishment comes onto him instead. Jesus was innocent and undeserving. Even the criminal on the cross recognized that. Said, "We are guilty. He's done nothing. And yet he's facing this fate that we deserve, but he doesn't." The Bible says all have sinned. You and I have all failed. We are all deserving of punishment. And yet Jesus on the cross took that punishment for us onto himself. That criminal on the cross who said, "I'm guilty. You're not. Remember me." Jesus is true to his word. He says, "I will remember you. This day you're going to be with me in paradise." This criminal, we don't know what he's done in his life. Possibly some pretty atrocious things. I mean, they reserved the crucifixion as a form of death for the worst criminals. And up until that moment, he could have lived the worst life. Maybe you feel today, "I've lived the worst life ever. I can't be forgiven. I deserve to be away from God forever. I don't deserve grace. I don't deserve forgiveness." And yet this criminal, by simply acknowledging who Jesus is, acknowledging his sinfulness before the Lord, asking Jesus to know him, to remember him, receives all the blessing and inheritance of paradise, of heaven, eternity with Jesus, eternal punishment that is deserved is replaced by eternal grace that is not deserved. Good Friday. We call it good, and yet in many ways it's such a dour event. We think about some pretty horrible things that happened to Jesus. Why is it good? It is good because of what Jesus went through for us so that we don't have to. It is good news for us. What love, what grace, what service. Thank you.